This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington.
And I'm Renee Montaigne in Los Angeles. The U.S. Army's investigation of the abuse of prisoners reaches far beyond a single prison in Iraq. An Army general said yesterday that the military is investigating the deaths of 10 prisoners and the alleged abuse of 10 more at prisons across Iraq and Afghanistan. The disclosure comes amid a worldwide uproar over photographs that illustrate the abuse of detainees at the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq. In an effort to contain the damage, President Bush is speaking today on Arabic language television. Yesterday, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld denounced the attacks.
The actions by U.S. military personnel in those photos do not in any way represent the values of our country or of the armed forces. As President Bush has stated, their treatment does not reflect the nature of the American people.
After that statement at a press conference, Secretary Rumsfeld sat down for an interview with NPR. I asked if he plans to demand the resignation of any senior officer, either inside Iraq or elsewhere in the Defense Department.
One cannot know the answer until these five or six investigations have run their course.
Although the reports have already found, as you've said, that there was a lack of training here, that there were insufficient troops, I mean, those are mistakes that are based on the decisions of commanders, aren't they?
First of all, I don't know that the conclusions have been made with respect to that. I know that one report suggested that, and I'm sure that'll be reviewed by the commanders who have the responsibility for making those judgments. And to the extent that that is validated, then unquestionably additional people would be put in.
You've described the incident that was photographed as an exception. Are there other incidents, granting that the investigation is going on, are there other incidents that give you cause for concern that it may not be an exception at all?
There's certainly more than one incident, if that's your question. Nonetheless, that type of behavior is clearly exceptional. That is to say, it is not the pattern. It is not how this country does business. It is not how the men and women in the armed forces conduct themselves. Now, the depiction that one sees in those photographs represent things that are unacceptable. And I've got a little bit of a problem on this subject because I'm in the chain of command, and I'm told by the lawyers that I have to avoid making conclusions and judgments about it until these things run their legal course.
Are there incidents that are being investigated at Iraqi detention facilities other than Abu Ghraib?
I don't know.
There have been some newspaper stories suggesting that there may have been, up until this incident was exposed, some tolerance of abuse of Iraqi prisoners. There was a lieutenant colonel, according to the Baltimore Sun, whose unit at Camp Buka in southern Iraq was accused of abusing prisoners. The lieutenant colonel was then transferred to Abu Ghraib.
I don't know that. I'm sure there's all kinds of things that are going to be gathered up in the six investigations that are underway that will help inform us on those types of things.
Okay. Moving on to another subject. You've announced that it's your intention to maintain U.S. military strength in Iraq at least 135,000 soldiers. Had you not done that, there would have been a gradual decrease in strength in Iraq. Why make that decision?
The combatant commander, John Abizaid, after consultation with the division commanders in the country, told me on the phone today that he believed that was the appropriate thing to do, and that's good enough for me.
What about the security situation requires that strength to be maintained for several months more, at least?
For one thing, we're moving towards that June 30th period where sovereignty is to be reassumed by the Iraqi people. And we have enough intelligence indications that the terrorists and the former regime elements that exist in that country who don't want that to happen intend to increase the level of violence during this coming period. Therefore, General Abizaid decided that he thought he would benefit from having 135,000 to 138,000 troops there.
And in order to do that, some people will go home. About 10,000 more will come in. In order to
more than 10.
More than 10,000.
Yeah, I've only authorized 10 so far. The others haven't gotten to me, but it'll be closer to 20, I guess.
Will you have?
Yeah, we had 115,000, and then we held 20 in. So that's 135,000. So it'll be a total of 20. And sometime today or tomorrow or this week, I suppose, they'll come to me with additional recommendations as to what units or individuals for the additional 10,000.
in order to get additional troops to Iraq, will you have to remove them from hotspots like South Korea or troops that were preparing to go into hotspots like South Korea?
Oh, we'll find them from the most appropriate place. We're not going to be weakening the deterrent in any parts of the world. You can be sure of that.
They will not come from specifically South Korea?
I didn't say where they'd come from, but if we were to take some from a part of the world where someone could say, oh my goodness, that might weaken the deterrent, then you can be sure we would take other steps to see that the deterrent was not weakened.
Okay. A couple of other questions. As you look at the security situation and plan for the next several months in Iraq, I'd like to know a couple of the assumptions under which you operate. How do you see the staying power of the enemy here? How long can they continue to fight?
That's a good question. First of all, the enemy isn't a fixed enemy. My guess is that coalition forces probably in the last 3, 4, or 5 weeks have killed 2,500 enemies. Are others coming across borders? Sure. So what we will be doing will be continuing offensive actions all across that country. Every time people are found who are doing things they ought not to be doing, they'll be advised about that.
There was a time when U.S. officials said there were maybe 2,000 to 5,000 people opposing them. The fact that 2,500 have been killed, according to the U.S. military, and still there's fighting going on, would suggest that you've grown new enemies over time.
It's entirely possible that folks have come in from Syria and from Iran and from other places and gotten engaged. Anytime anyone gives you estimates like that, they are best estimates. They're best guesses. I've seen numbers that go from a few thousand up to a few tens of thousands, but who knows what the actual number is, and I think it may vary from issue to issue.
As you attempt to stabilize the country, how important is the inclusion of former members of the regime of Saddam Hussein, former Ba'athists?
I think there are Ba'athists and there are Ba'athists. There were a lot of people who were a part of that, quote, regime at lower levels who need to have a stake in the future of that country. And they may have been policemen, they may have been teachers, they may have been teachers in a university as opposed to a grammar school. They may have been low level in the army. Our view is that for that to be a single country, the Shia, the Sunnis, the Kurds all have to feel that they have a stake in it and they'll have an opportunity in it.
Well, that's an interesting
point. But not people with blood on their hands.
That's an interesting point, though, because it does point to the complexity of your problem here. As you bring more Ba'athists in, doesn't that send a harmful message to your friends in Iraq, the Kurds or Shiite groups and
it others? It does. It sends a message that, I wouldn't say harmful, but is ambiguous. And they have to look at it and say, well, wait a minute, there's got to be a limit now. And the short answer to that is it's going to be their country. They're going to have to figure that out. They're going to have sovereignty in 6, 8 weeks, and they're going to have to wrestle with that. But they'll want to know how far is this going to go, and we have to be careful to see it doesn't, at least while we're involved, that it doesn't go too far.
Secretary Rumsfeld, thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld spoke yesterday at the Pentagon. An extended version of this interview is at npr.org.